Hello, everybody. It's your friendly neighborhood station manager, Jackson Wells, here. Just letting you know that we've got a real fun one coming up for you. I had the opportunity last week to sit down with James Hislop of Alibi Media, as well as Daniel Monkman of the band Obigizi, who will both be at the Field Trip Music Festival this weekend, Saturday, July 9th. Chance to learn a little bit more about the festival and then hear from a local acts playing, so I won't get in the way of those great conversations anymore. Without further ado, away we go. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to our field trip interview series. I'm joined today by James Hislop of Alibi Entertainment and of Field Trip. So thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with us.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you so much. So what we're going to chat about a little bit for the duration is just some stuff about Field Trip and what you can expect and how to get there. So, James, I've heard that you're a bit of a veteran in terms of attending Field Trip. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's been like in previous years and how it kind of all came together?
Yeah, so Field Trip was started in 2013 by the founders of Arts and Crafts Records, Canada's preeminent and best independent record label. And it was done as a 10-year celebration of their company. It went so well in 2013 that they decided to do it again. And as Kevin Drew from Broken Social Scene will say, and again, and again, and again. And it really grew from, I would say, a modest to a spectacular festival that I think really defines so much of what Toronto is in terms of community, art, culture, food, your neighbors, bands you know, bands you've never heard of that you now really love. And it takes all of those things and puts it in one place, historic Fort York at the bottom of the city. And really is, in the true definition of a festival, a celebration of everything that is art, culture, food, music, and importantly, each other.
That's great. Would you also say that, obviously, it's a local label and a lot of local things come together. It's big for both, like, Toronto and then also, like, Canadian music and culture as well?
Yeah, so, Arts and Crafts, when they started, it were music lovers and musicians, and it was born primarily because there was a void in the market for there was the big independent record labels, and they grew from being a small independent to being a large independent label, and that's continued throughout every year of Field Trip. So, for example, this year we have 14 acts on the bill. 11 of them are Canadian, and not only are they Canadian. We have two Indigenous acts, Omigizi and Hallucination. We've got French-Canadian acts. We've got, a full range of diversity that is, I think, very reflective of Canada. We're a large, diverse nation. So we've got everything from, old school bands like Rio Statics, who probably your dad went to in his day, to Hawaii Mighty and Georgia Harmer, who is just beginning her career, which I think is going to be significant. She's an incredibly talented artist. So Field Trip really does try its best to encapsulate the scope and the breadth of Canadian music, and put it on display and get everybody involved.
And to that point, what do you think is the importance of kind of showcasing some of those newer artists? You talk about Georgia Harmer and other folks. Where do you see the value in that?
Well, it's, I guess when you get to be my age, the bands that I grew up with are now called legacy acts. And music is... musicians are inspired by musicians who are inspired by their fans. It's a circle, and it's always important to inject new energy and new life into that circle, so that not only are people able to discover new artists, but artists that are outside of the genre that they would normally listen to. So it's important culturally, it's important socially, it's important as a human to continually be inspired. And I think music is the one thing that can bring us all together. It's the one thing that we can find crosses borders, crosses languages, crosses genders, crosses orientation. It's the thing that, well, for many of us, that fuels us.
And,
like I said, it's since 2013, Field Trip has been that celebration of culture, of music and art. And, you know, we've got 15 of the best food trucks providing a real range of food, everything from what you would traditionally go to a food truck for to lobster rolls and trying to think of some of the other crazy foods that we've got. But it's and there's lots of interactions with brands. You can play cornhole. Town and Collective Arts Breweries have created a Field Trip beer. Actually, there's two Field Trip beers. So it really is, as I said to Kevin Drew a long time ago, you know, there's nothing better than standing in a field, drinking a beer, and listening to awesome music. So that's kind of Field Trip.
Totally. I certainly agree with that sentiment as well. Speaking of, you know, other things, we've talked a little bit about music, but there's also so many other things going on, especially this year. Can you share some of the other exhibits or other experiences people might be able to see this year?
Well, one of the things I think that makes Field Trip very unique is it's a family event. So like my earliest memory of, you know, the first year was with my son wearing a set of ear defenders on my shoulders, holding my daughter's hand, you know, listening to music. And so one of the things that has been a real significant part of Field Trip is day camp. Day camp is set up for kids. And we have an in and out policy that you can come in and out as many times at the festival as you want. So you can bring your kids down when the doors open at 1, see Ombigizi at 1:30. Then you can go to day camp where there's Altamats. And who doesn't love seeing dogs and cats on skateboards? recess therapy, splashing boots, a Juno Award winning kids act. Lots of crafts, lots of arts, because it comes from arts and crafts originally. So there's a ton of things to do as a family. There's art exhibits, there's wall murals. We're, you know, giving people a can of spray paint and a huge wall to write whatever, draw whatever they want. And the whole time we have two stages going. So there's the main stage and the garrison stage. So sorry, the Fort York stage and the garrison stage. And so there's continual music. There's always something to do. There is ride your bike down and we'll valet your bike or take the TTC or walk or Uber. But like I said, you can come in, you can come out and spend the whole day, spend part of your day, spend the part of the day that you want. And I think after 2 years of being locked up and shut down, this is the first time, certainly in the city of Toronto, that we've had an ability to really gather without circles keeping us 6 feet apart from each other, like the city used to do. So it's, so this is, I think, a celebration of people. And I think, you know, we've got Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats as our headliner, but I think the real headliner are the people that are coming to this and celebrating getting back to some, to whatever form of normal we're going to get to. We should celebrate at a festival.
I think it's a really interesting idea to think of a music festival as more of a cultural festival instead of just music. So that's very interesting. Thank you.
It really is music, art, and food. If you go to fieldtriplife.com, not only where you can get tickets, but you can also, you know, check out what time the acts are playing, who's at day camp, what kind of food is being offered. And it really is sort of your, you know, source for all information, Field Trip. But it really, it is music, food, and culture and art all brought together. as a community. And I think we want to celebrate that.
That's great. One thing I did see is the Analog Gallery's Music Photography Exhibition. Could you tell us a little bit more about that? I think that that's really interesting.
So Lucia Remedios, who runs Analog Gallery, is a renowned, she's a renowned photographer in her own right, and also I would think probably one of, you know, music's great photography curators. Mm-hmm. So the gallery has got pictures of every rock star, musician, musical artist you can think of, and it really is a great experience. Just it's not the photos you expect. They're not the photos that you're going to see in on their websites. These are photos that are taken by, you know, really creative photographers that are looking to capture a specific moment in time while an artist is either playing or not playing. Mm-hmm. So it's documenting music history in a really beautiful and profound way. So I don't know for sure. I think it's been there since day one, but maybe not, but it's been a big part of Field Trip. And Lucia and her team continue to document, I would say, our cultural musical history on an ongoing basis. So they have a gallery here in Toronto in Sterling, mm-hmm. their permanent home in downtown Toronto, and they take over kind of the name of the building. It's in the fort, but they've...
Oh.
Is it the Barrack House? Oh, I should have that top of my tongue. I don't. But... yeah, it is really a great exhibit, and it's international and Canadian.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's really cool. Thanks so much. Kind of maybe winding down a little bit. What are you personally most excited to see? Who are you most excited to see? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I perhaps did put my thumb on the scale. I'm a huge Nathaniel Radcliffe fan.
There you go.
So. I may have had something to do with that, maybe a little bit more emphasis, but he's an incredible artist. Mm-hmm. And he's got the Night Sweats. They are an energizing big band. There's horns. I think he has two drummers. I don't want to say party music. That sounds very reductive, it's inspiring music in terms of that. Even though some of the subject matter might be dark, it is uplifting, and it's I love it. Kurt Vile is for More on Drugs. So there's something really honest to what Field Trip is that Kurt Vile represents, just a sound and an energy, and you know, Pierre Quenders from Montreal, mm-hmm. Who is a phenomenal artist. So we've got, so I think those are the three things that I'm really looking forward to. Hallucination is closing the second stage, and, you know, they've got a great show, and they're mm-hmm. great performers. And I think, what's the other thing? An Altamontz. Who doesn't
love Right, them? Yeah.
I was just on... breakfast television with them, and rightly so. The morning host couldn't finish with me quickly enough to get to dog on the ball, the dog on the trike. So I don't think that is limited to a kid experience. Mm-hmm. Day camp. So I think it's, you know, the show is curated, the festival is curated, and it's that fine balance between knowing when things are happening and yet leaving room for spontaneous and instantaneous things to happen as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, while it's there's a schedule, and, you know, we have city bylaws that we have to maintain in terms of when we end, but there is lots of flexibility in there for artists to try something new, to offer a food they've never offered before. And for people, importantly, just to, like I said, you know, it's and Kevin Drew said it best, you know, you go down because there's an act that you love, and you find an act you didn't know about, and fall in love with again for the first time. And like, I think there's a lot of people that are going to find that with in Hawaii Mighty. I think she won the Juno, but you know, a spectacular performer and artist. But a lot of people that go to field trip to see the Rio Statics will have never heard of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be overwhelmed by how much they love the lineup.
That's great. Thank you so much. All right, kind of coming down to the end here. Do you want to maybe share with where people can go to learn all about Field Trip?
Yeah, so go to fieldtriplife.com. The website, or you can, we're on Instagram, TikTok. I don't know if we're on Snapchat, to be honest. I'd have to check with my daughter, but but yeah, the best place is the website where you can
no worries.
Fieldtriplife.com has all the information. There's an FAQ part that will answer most questions. And there's somebody live behind the website. So if you have a question, send the question through and someone will respond within 24 hours as we lead up to the festival.
That's great. Thank you so much. That's been James Hislop. And tune in the next couple seconds to hear my next conversation. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the next segment of our field trip series, where we're chatting with some artists from the upcoming Field Trip Festival in Toronto. I'm joined today by Danielle Monkman of Obigaze. Thank you so much for sitting down to chat with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Danielle, what I'm going to do, we'll start off just kind of some general stuff to know a little bit about you. You're currently in the collaborative kind of project, like I was talking about with Adam Sturgeon. You're also put out music yourself under Zune as well, that's correct?
Yeah. Currently just in an album cycle for Obigaze and also in kind of an album campaign for Zune too.
That's great. So that kind of brings me to my first question, which is kind of like, what's it like kind of holding multiple projects, multiple different organizations or groups and yourself all at the same time? Like, do you find that process rewarding or is it a little bit tiring? What's that like?
The recording part of it is the easiest part, and that's what I love the most. It's when we start both playing festivals and touring that it starts to become a lot for me. And because both bands are pretty active, it's not just like once in a while, it's a pretty consistent thing. So I do find myself pretty tired, but I guess that's kind of what I signed up for.
Yeah, fair enough. And so taking it back to Zune a little bit, and I guess yourself, what have kind of been your kind of musical like inspirations, and what kind of got you interested in and what's got you to where you are today?
I grew up on a lot of bluegrass and folk music traditionally. Mm-hmm. Just that was like the music that a lot of people in the reserve that I'm from played. And so growing up, subconsciously I just really enjoyed folk music. And coming into these projects, I've always still had that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really hear it on Sewn Back Together, all the little finger picking acoustic parts was all me. And I rarely played an electric guitar on that record. It was all just acoustic guitar and a little bit of bass. And same with my Zune project too. It wasn't until a few years ago that I started to use a lot more distortion and stuff. But when you strip the songs back from that record, it mm-hmm. all started from an acoustic guitar.
It's interesting. I can definitely hear that when you're listening. Taking us, I guess, then to Sewn Back Together, one of the things I've noticed both listening, but also in reading some of your other talking, is it seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but to you and to Adam as well, music seems, it's about storytelling, but it's also about that kind of like healing and kind of a communal aspect. Could you speak to that a little bit?
I think Adam and I started this project based on our care for family and making sure that's always intact and kind of well maintained, because through our struggles we've realized that family has always been the thing that has kept us together. And so we just try to keep that vision alive through this project. And it's the thing that brought us together.
That's great. Kind of on that point of bringing you together, how did it happen? You two kind of have your own kind of paths, and how did they end up crossing and leading to the project?
A few years ago, before the pandemic, Adam and I were on the same management company.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed that we were kind of like the only Anishinaabe people in our music scenes.
Yeah.
I guess ones who are really identifying with that. Some Native people don't really like to have that as their, you know, main selling point or something that they really speak out about. And so Adam and I gravitated towards each other because of how we identified. And but because our projects were so busy at the time, we never had much way to collaborate, except for just in passing, or we'd text each other once in a while being like, hey, we should start doing some music. And the pandemic allowed us to have a lot of free time on our hands, and it gave me a lot of time to even start to plan for a second project, just because Zune was really taking off during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And there was moments where Adam and I, both on our own, in our own time, wrote songs that we felt like belonged somewhere else. And that's when we started to really push the idea of this new project. And our friend Kevin Drew was the one that kind of brought it all together, because up in that to that point we didn't have any studio time. We just had some song ideas, and I asked Adam to text or call Kevin and ask if he would produce this record or be part of it. And within a day, Kevin was on board and gave us his studio time, which was the following month. And we really didn't have all the ideas put down, but found out in the studio that we work well together. And having Kevin steer the ship was a really interesting process.
That's great. Yeah, that actually, you're helping me out here. You're leading me into my next one, which is Kevin Drew, of course, of Broken Social Scene fame. What was it like working with him as like on a production capacity, as opposed to maybe as an artist himself? Although I'm sure he probably participated a little bit.
Yeah, he participated a lot, but he did give us enough room to make our own calls and to put in our own like authentic sounds. I know when we first went into it, we thought it was going to be like completely shoegaze and post,
mm-hmm.
like Adam and I's influences, but very quickly we realized that Kevin wanted to create a hooky cohesive sound, but not lean too much of on our solo projects. And so that was really interesting to me. And another thing was, I usually like kind of like to take my time when I'm recording. When I'm writing music, it's a pretty fast process, but in the recording process, it takes a little while. And with Kevin, it was very fast pace on all fronts. We had maybe like however long it took the person in the recording booth to record was as much time as we had to prepare our next part. So mm-hmm. sometimes that was only like 5 minutes, but sometimes it would take maybe percussion to do their parts an hour. So
mm-hmm.
it was like either you had time or you didn't have time to record. And we found that process to bring out a lot of our a lot of things that we didn't maybe necessarily think we had in us, but it was laying in there subconsciously, and those kind of pressures brought those out. And it was really interesting. It was interesting because that was my first time working with Kevin, but we had become friends before that. But we never talked about putting music out together or doing music. We just, we did talk about him mixing on my record, but that didn't work out. So then that's when I asked Adam to bring Kevin onto this project, and it just worked out. It was really exciting working with Kevin. Adam and I both have taken that recording session and applied it to our solo projects, in the sense that we just kind of work quickly and don't linger too long on things that aren't working.
Yeah. So I guess, would you say like the spontaneity kind of like breeds creative things that you wouldn't expect when you're thinking too much about it otherwise?
Yeah. Just normally I don't even work in big studios like that. We recorded the Tragically Hip studio in
Bath, very nice,
and near Kingston. And you know, it costs a lot of money to be in a studio, and that's why I don't go to them, and I just produce everything from my house. But there, it felt like the pressure was off. Not because of the money, kind of, but because we found a label that was going to cover the tab. So
yeah,
we kind of were like, all right, let's just, you know, not worry about the money, and because it's covered, so let's just like make the best sounding record we possibly could. Honestly, at the time we didn't have a label set up, but it was in the works that we were either going to go with one label or the other. And both of them, when we talked to them, we were like, we need the studio time covered. And
And you kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but you and Adam have different styles, you know, Status, Non-Status, and Zune. What was it like kind of changing it up a little bit and kind of exploring different sounds with someone who maybe isn't like an exact match from your previous work?
Yeah, it was as an artist who's in the process of growing, I find it fascinating working with other songwriters. And I cross genres pretty widely, especially with newer Zune stuff. I've just always loved all genres, so I always try to find myself in those places. And Adam's style and genre was something that I hadn't really explored before, and so it was really interesting watching him songwrite and us collaborate at the same time. It was very, very interesting, cool, and I learned a lot.
That's cool. I like the idea of, you know, taking time to like learn with each other, as opposed to just like making music.
Yeah,
that's great. So I also know that you're coming to the tail end of your first tour. What's it been like being able to finally get to play these songs to some people?
It's been great. What we've noticed is a lot of people, I guess, have learned the lyrics and stuff. And when we were on tour in Kingston, there was people singing along to the songs, which is very new to me. It only happened to me in Manitoba at a home. I'm from Manitoba, and I was playing a hometown show, and there's people singing along to my songs. But this was the first time going to a new city, and people were singing. And the second night at club or a gallery, saw more people were kind of singing to the song, a little less that there. But it seems like that's kind of the route it's going, is people enjoy it, and we're really grateful for that. And so is Adam.
That's cool. That's really fun. Kind of pulling a little bit closer to the end here. What's next
for you? Are you, I know you've alluded to some of your own stuff coming out. Are you planning to go on the road again soon? What's next for Daniel?
Well, I just got back from Sled Island, so I'm really tired. And yesterday, my house sitter, I guess, left my bedroom door open, so my cat just peed on everything. And so I didn't really get a chance to rest yesterday. I was running up and down, washing stuff and cleaning all the pee and poo off the ground. And it actually took all day. So today I found myself laying around and just trying to enjoy time off right now.
And
but on Big Easy, you know, we start playing in a few days, in probably a week. And it's, our whole month is just full of touring, a lot of Zoom dates. I think I might have 7 days off next month, and it's all full of, the rest is just flying, touring, and yeah. So it's a pretty busy couple months for Zoom and on Big Easy.
That's great. Thanks so much. So that kind of takes it to the end of kind of my questions. Do you want to maybe, you'll know better than me, to shout out where people can find you and your various projects?
Yeah, sure. You can find me at on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all my handles are at Zoon Gidiewin, which is ZoonGidiewin. And same with Om Big Eze. All of our handles are just our name, which is OMBIIGIZI. And same with our Bandcamp. And I believe that's everything that we're on.
That's great. Thank you so much. Well, once again, I want to thank you for sitting down with us and telling us a little bit about what you've been up to, and I look forward to hearing you at Field Trip.
Oh, thank you so much, man, for having me.
No worries. Thanks. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. We will be at Field Trip this weekend chatting to a lot of cool folks, so keep your ears out and your eyes out for some of our coverage, and we'll see you in the next one.